This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Your mind for the week. Hate to be done, but there's a whole new week next week. Do it all over again. This is the WeFest Friday edition. Brooks and Dunn, Jake Owen, tonight on the big stage. So we'll have some of their music this hour. We have your questions and comments. Welcome for Senator Kevin Cramer, because it's the Talk Radio Town Hall. Every Friday, your chance to ask your questions of Senator Kevin Cramer. He will be here for most of this hour, so if you do have questions or comments, get him in now, because he might have to leave just a little bit early for a meeting today, and want to make sure we get those questions in. So don't wait till the end. Get him in now. 701-258-0550. 701-258-0550. You can text your questions in if you prefer that. 701-367-2054. Todd's at 701-226-8503, okay, for Senator Kevin Cramer. Senator, thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Scott, although it's a bit eerie. I'm sitting in my office in Washington, D.C., and as probably the whole world pretty much knows, we wrapped up the session, the summer session, yesterday, about noonish, and Chris and I, my wife's out here, we walked from our apartment to the Capitol, and it's a little bit like being in Medora in February.
the place clears out, right?
Pretty much. Now there are some wonderful tourists around, but the hustle and bustle is, and the traffic's very good. Let's just put it that way. It's actually quite pleasant to be here on a day when Congress isn't in session.
First text says, ask him why he voted for such a ridiculous spending bill, says Bob. Speaking, obviously, of the budget, your last vote of the summer session, right?
Yeah. Well, there's lots of reasons that I voted for it, good reasons to vote for it. There's lots of reasons why somebody might vote no as well, except that none of them solve any of our challenges. First of all, President Trump took the lead on this and went into a negotiation with Speaker Nancy Pelosi, which in and of itself, by the way, you know, is made for TV if you could shoot video of it. But and they sat down looking for common goals, and then of course looking for ways that they could negotiate and compromise on something that was acceptable to the two of them, and then of course everybody else in between. It was a very first of all, it avoided some real important things. It avoided, of course, defaulting on the nation's debt, and that's essential. I know a lot of people like to pretend we're not going to raise the debt ceiling, or that there'd be something noble about not raising the debt ceiling. The reality is, if we didn't raise the debt ceiling, then we'd crash markets, we'd crash our economy, we'd be defaulting on debt is what we'd be doing, and of course, what ultimately would happen is, that our nation's rating would go way down, and So clearly that wasn't going to happen. So the first thing, it did do that. The other thing it did is it eliminated sequester. And sequester is the Barack Obama 2011 deal that devastated our military. And what it did is it put in triggers that if you don't pass a budget, you go into what are called continuing resolutions, which is, in the short term anyway, you fund the government based on the current budget and the current laws. And what that does is it means there's no more planning. It means that our military, for example, are forced to buy all the things that they don't need and are prohibited from buying new things that they do need that meet our strategic defense strategy. And it's such a blow to our military. And if you don't believe me, ask any member of the North Dakota National Guard what a CR does. But worse than that is then if you don't have a budget by the end of the year, then, of course, you end up with sequestration, which would have been a severe cut to our military. And all of that was put in place by Barack Obama in 2011 as an incentive to pass budgets. And it turned into a pretty good incentive. the increase in budget, which, you know, people talk about this as though it was a massive increase and a massive increase in our debt. Well, it's an increase of $54 billion over 2 years. It's about 2% or a little less than 2% increase, which is less than the increase in revenue to the government, and it's less than certainly less than the growth in the economy by quite a bit. And so it's really quite a modest. In fact, I'm a little bit surprised that Nancy Pelosi agreed to it. Most of the increase, or at least half of the increase, of course, is in our military. It's not as much of an increase as our Defense Authorization Act asked for, but it was at least an increase that allows our military now the certainty to keep building, you know, the ships, the submarines, the aircraft, and, by the way, gives the largest pay increase to our military men and women, which is our largest expense in the military. It's not the largest expense for the Chinese or the Russians, our near peer adversaries, because we actually pay our military. And so, you know, it avoided all of that, Scott. So with a 2% increase in budget for 2 years, avoiding defaulting on our debt, and securing our military and allowing us to continue to dig out from the Obama years, which were devastating to our military, where half of our airplanes couldn't fly because they didn't have the parts to. I thought it was a good deal. It was the best deal we're ever going to get in a divided government. And had we not done it, the next deal would have cost a whole bunch more. So it's easy to say, you should vote no because it's not as good as it could have been, or it's not as good as I wanted it to be. But realizing you have to get 60 votes in the Senate, and you have to get the Democratic-controlled House to pass it, and the president, of course, negotiated it and advocated for it. But the other thing I think is really important for all of us to remember, what we're talking about is just the discretionary side of the budget. The imbalance in the budget, the driver of debt, is not this part of the budget. The discretionary side of the budget is now 31% of the budget. It'll be 22% of the budget in less than 10 years. But right now it's 31% of the budget, half of which is national defense.
I think most people understand what you're saying, but basically 31% to 22% means that's the only area you have any chance of affecting any change. Everything else is obligations that you can't change.
Well, you can change them if you have the will to change them, but they're not part of this budget deal. So that's the mandatory spending that includes Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, some of the other entitlement programs. So I feel like we need to tackle that side, that 70% side, or we're never going to get the balance. And the reason for that is, and by the way, just so you know, Medicare will start here in, you know, within a year or two of not bringing in as much money as is going out. Or I should say Social Security. And then ultimately when that runs out, the trust fund runs out, then you're on a cash only basis. Both Medicare and Social Security. Medicare will be insolvent in about, about 6 or 7 years. And Social Security less than 10 years after that. And when that happens, there are automatic cuts, and the cuts will be about 25% in benefits. So we need to stave that off anyway. And until other politicians are willing to have the discussion I'm having with you right now, we're never going to get the balance, and nor are we, by the way, going to be able to sustain those important safety net programs. And the reason for that, Scott, is, of course, we have an aging population. The baby boomer is the big demographic group retiring at the rate of several thousand a day. And as they retire, they start taking Social Security out, and the money that's going back in is less than what is going out.
You call this budget conservative. I call it
modest increases. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the areas I found that I thought was a fair label of conservative was some of the things that the pro-life groups are applauding Nancy Pelosi has fought tooth and nail. A lot of them, we know about the Hyde Amendment and federal use of taxpayer dollars on abortions and whatnot, but the pro-life community is thrilled with what happened here. How did that come about?
Sure. So this is the other side of it. When you negotiate a budget deal and then appropriations, you also have the policies that go along with it. Speaker Pelosi and the Democrats, of course, have been trying for years, decades, to get rid of the Hyde Amendment, federal funding of abortions. They wanted a whole bunch of riders, policy riders, that would open up abortion, open up the industry, make it more available to more people, including illegal immigrants. And we were able to stave all of that off. Somehow, I don't know how he did it, but Steven Mnuchin and Donald Trump were able to make sure that none of that stuff got in there. And other things, by the way, the president's authority to transfer dollars to build the wall. Now, they wanted to put a rider to eliminate that, to put a prohibition on that. And we were able to stick that. In fact, there's not one rider. In fact, we prevent any poison pills from getting into the budget or into the appropriations bills. So those were, you're right, the policy side of it is almost more important to the conservative movement than the 2% increase in the spending.
All right, 16 past the hour. We have calls waiting, although we're getting up against the break here, so we'll have to just wait until get to those until we come back. But we'll do that in a moment. Lauren and Mandan and Cole in North Dakota, stay tuned for that. Also, last hour, a lot of questions about federal lands came up in a question, and one of them about the new BLM acting director. We're going to talk to Senator Kramer about that. Cable TV rates, somebody who wanted us to ask that. We're going to keep our promise there. And, of course, more on the Corps of Engineers and whether they really want to build a wall at all. We'll talk about that after our conversation for POV on TV last night with Senator Kevin Kramer when we continue. Don't go away.
Welcome to Soybean Minute, your source for timely soybean news.
I'm North Dakota Soybean Council Director Joe Morgan of Castleton. The North Dakota Soybean Council is excited to offer our Market Outlook Seminar for soybeans. This one-day program will give soybean producers a mid-season look at the soybean markets and discuss marketing strategies prior to harvest. Dr. Bill Wilson and Dr. Frank Olson will discuss how the season is progressing, the South American crop, world demand, and walk producers through marketing strategies and risk management options for the 2019 soybean harvest. This seminar will be held July 25th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at two locations, NDSU's Commodity Trading Room in Berry Hall in Fargo, and Bismarck State College Campus in Bismarck. Both courses will be facilitated by noted professors Dr. Wilson and Dr. Olson of NDSU. The seminar is free for North Dakota soybean producers, but seating is limited, and registrations are accepted on a first-come, first-served basis. Be sure to register online by July 17th at ndsoybean.org.
This message is brought to you by the North Dakota Soybean Council and the Soybean Checkoff.
We're asking Watford City residents, what's it like to live the good life in Watford City? Pat Bertinelli.
When I came out to the community, I got to meet some of the employers, and I got to meet some of the people that were actually working in the oil field, and then just meeting some of the business owners. I still remember leaving a restaurant, and the owner of the restaurant said, hey, Pat, it was very nice meeting you, and I certainly hope that you consider joining our community. We'd love to have you. How I felt that day is how I want people to feel when they come to North Dakota, and McKenzie County hits that mark.
Learn more at voicesofwatford.com.
North Dakota is rich with natural resources, fertile soil, oil, coal, natural gas, and wind energy. North Dakota has a lot of it, with wind farms in 27 counties. Renewable energy is an increasingly important part of an all-of-the-above energy strategy. The Public Service Commission should support wind development to move North Dakota to become energy dominant. Wind energy, good for you, our communities, our economy. Message brought to you by North Dakotans for Comprehensive Energy Solutions.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Mama Maria, don't you know I've come a long, long way? I've been longing to see her. When she's around, she takes my blues away.
What's on your mind? That's Brooks and Dunn, by the way. Singing a song about my wife.
My Maria.
We are brought to you in part today by our friends at DAC Diesel. CJ and the team hard at it right now. And if you've heard of us talking about the good work they're doing for so many folks in diesel repair, they're all things diesel. They're all about diesel. That's what CJ grew up fixing. That's what he knows. Semi-trucks, pickup trucks, tractors, whatever. Get them to run better. Get them off the mat, whatever you need. Get yourself an appointment, 701-258-5011. For all your repair and maintenance needs of your diesel vehicle, DACDiesel.com. Call a CJ and the team, 701-258-5011. All right, back with Senator Kevin Cramer on What's on Your Mind. Tom in Hazen is first to go here. Tom, what's on your mind?
Yes, Senator, just a quick, I want to talk to you about the VA, but a quick comment about the Corps of Engineers. Mm-hmm. I understand the problem you're having with the Corps of Engineers. There's a word missing there. It's the Army Corps of Engineers.
Right.
And the president is the chief. He's the commander-in-chief, so cannot he intervene there?
So, great question. And he has intervened quite a bit. In fact, I don't know if, Scotty, maybe we could resurrect this, but was it the Washington Post, I think it was, that did a big sort of hit piece on the president and me trying to influence the Corps of Engineers as though somehow that's a bad thing, you know, and undue influence and all that. But you're exactly right. It is the United States Army Corps of Engineers. The head of the Corps of Engineers is a four-star Army general who will be in my office in about
right.
an hour. And and so there's oftentimes confusion about the chain of command. I think part of it, to be really honest, I think part of the problem with that is that the Army's it's really not a high priority for the Army to build, you know, dams and levees and dikes and waterways. And there might be a nexus at some, you know, stretch, certainly it's understandable that they would build things on military bases. And so consequently, it's not a high priority for the Army. And it's, you know, it's easy to see why not. You go to the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs or the Secretary of the Army or the Secretary of Defense, and they're busy fighting wars and preparing for war and building a deterrent for war. And then you think about this group over here of engineers that are, you know, building things, and it's just hard to make it a priority. So, yes, he can intervene. I think he has intervened, and I have just yesterday we cleared or confirmed the new OMB federal procurement officer, and before I would clear him for passage, I required him to provide for me in writing, which he did, that he will make procurement reform at the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers a top priority. And in addition to that, as I mentioned, the General Semonite will be in my office shortly.
And just to piggyback on Tom's questions, you know, we have texts about this. Does the Army Corps answer to anyone? Who's up the ladder from them? I mean, who does Todd Semonite, the general that heads up the Army Corps of Engineers, who's his direct report?
Well, I suppose his direct report, he's got four stars, as I said, on his shoulder. So probably his direct report is the Secretary of the Army and then, you know, probably the Secretary of Defense in reality. But that's, or at least theoretically, in reality, the oversight is a little bit weird, too. So I sit on the Armed Services Committee. So we have some oversight of their budget and things through the National Defense Authorization Act. But they more often answer to the Committee on Energy and Natural Resources. I personally believe, and maybe we talked about this last week, I've been of the belief for a long time that the Corps of Engineers has way too much to do, that they ought not to have a lot of this responsibility, and it ought to be under the Department of Interior, so you don't have the very confusion that you're speaking to right now. I think it'd be a better fit and whatnot. But even at that, you guys, there is no bureaucracy, including the Department of Defense, that doesn't need fixing. It's so big, so massive, so out of control. The very fact that we're having this discussion, the very fact, if you saw some of the responses I get from the Corps of Engineers to my request for information, the fact that they don't have to give me things that I ask for, when I can go down, and just last week I was down in the SCIF and I saw a classified briefing on, I can't even say it. I can pretty much know I can know where every missile with a nuclear warhead in the United States is aimed. I can know where every submarine is sailing right now.
And yet I can't know what a company that wants to do business with the United States bid on a project.
It's absolutely crazy. And I think, Senator Cramer, as much of a relationship that you've built up with the president, who obviously has a signature promise to the American people as part of his campaign last time to build a wall, and you've got a group of people you believe now are corrupt and do not want to build the wall, that if you called the president and said, you just need wholesale change at the Department of Defense, these people serve at the pleasure of the president, he would heed that call and likely remove him. I mean, are you to that point yet?
Well, I'm pretty close to that point, Scott. But the problem is, what I worry about is that, let's say you remove him, you're going to replace him with somebody just like him, most likely. So the change has to be even more dramatic than that. It has to be law changes. It has to be rule and regulation changes. Some of my questions today are going to relate directly to statute, to Constitution, to Article 1 and oversight authorities of the Congress. And if we can't get some understanding of that, perhaps you could have wholesale changes. But I'll just tell you, last week we confirmed a Secretary of Defense. We confirmed a Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. I had dinner with the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff last week. Just yesterday I was with the Commandant of the Marine Corps last night at the Japanese Embassy at a U.S.-Japan forum that I spoke at, along with the four-star general that's the commander of Space Force and Space Command, which is why I was there. And so we are having conversations at the very highest levels of the Pentagon right now about the performance of the United States Army Corps of Engineers. And it's hard to make that a priority over there. Understandably, Russia is a problem, China is a problem, North Korea is a problem, Iran is a problem, ISIS continues to be a problem. We have troops moving in, troops moving out. It's hard for them to want to deal with a bureaucracy that's, full of engineers, which are noble jobs. But let's just put it this way. We are all engaged at a level that we weren't 6 months ago or even 6 days ago.
A simple solution for your meeting today. Clearly, you've raised my ire, General Semonite, in many different ways. And clearly you guys aren't doing what you need to do just by the pure stats. You've said that going way back to your conversation with Kirsten Nielsen. So how about this? I'll bring you down to Sunland Park, New Mexico. You can see firsthand what a private company is doing, how they've done it. Why don't you just write checks to them? Rather than go through all your bureaucracy and everything else, just have them do it. And don't pay them until they do it right.
Well, we'll have some conversations like that. However, I also want to be fair and note for people that there are a whole bunch of projects that are hung up in court right now, not surprisingly. And there are also some projects that are delayed because of things like getting the land. This is private land for the most part that we're talking about where a lot of this is getting.
I'm guessing the private sector can unwind that mess quicker than the government. More after this with Congressman Senator
it's
Kevin
time
Kramer,
for the Medora way. Minute. We're on with Justin Fisk with Medora. I love the musical theme, Justin. Be legendary.
We always celebrate the legend of Theodore Roosevelt at the Medora musical, and this year we do it in a fun, new way. We include his charge at San Juan Hill in a really different way that people are loving, but we also are celebrating some legends of the Badlands that people are less familiar with. Some of the legendary ladies of the Badlands and the North Dakota Six Pack, some legendary rodeo cowboys from North Dakota celebrated in the Medora musical this year.
Tell me about the legendary ladies.
We tell the story of some of the hardy women of the Badlands that really helped build this place, folks that raised large families while ranching, numerous heads of cattle, the first teacher in Medora, and really just some of the people that you don't get to hear about a lot.
Explore it, adore it, Medora. Justin, we will chat soon.
Fully from the Badlands.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The government's July jobs report exceeds most analysts' expectations. Here's USA Radio's John Clemens.
Eleni Karageorge of the Bureau of Labor Statistics has the latest figures.
Payroll employment rose by 164,000 in July, and the unemployment rate was unchanged at 3.7%.
Senior analyst Mark Hamrick of Bankrate.com tells us, with a low unemployment rate, this remains a good time for workers to be looking for jobs with higher pay. And for those not ready to move on, the job security remains generally solid, and more generous benefits are being offered to retain workers.
President Trump holding a campaign rally in Cincinnati, Ohio last night, taking aim at cities run by Democrats. He said there's been a, quote, total one-party control of inner cities for over 100 years, and it just hasn't worked out. And this is USA Radio News.
At Walgreens, we know that your day doesn't stop for diabetes. So when you've got places to go and people to see, count on Walgreens every day to get expert diabetes advice 24/7. Find all major brands of testing supplies like Walgreens True Metrics in-store and online. And download tools to help you stay on track, like our 5-star mobile app with Pill Reminder. At Walgreens, we are your diabetes go-to. Stop by and talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Jimmy Allen, he'll line up tonight. We Fest, 5 o'clock. Is he doing the barn?
Yep. He'll do the main stage at 5, and then he's up on the barn stage later tonight.
Yeah, okay. That's like 12:30.
Yeah, great new artist.
Does it start at 12:30?
Yep, starts at 12:30 after Brooks and Dunn.
I
get a nap.
I don't even fathom how somebody says, let's go to the concert, honey. What time does it start? 12:30. P.M.? No, A.M. Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. No. Those days have passed me by. Anyway, we're brought to you in part by MyPillow. Our friend Michael Lindell, by the way, he says hi, Kevin. We talked to him yesterday, and he has that new book out about his journey from crack addict to CEO. It's a pretty incredible story, and all the proceeds go to his recovery network that he's doing, which is really amazing. He's had this in his brain for a couple of years, and it's finally coming to fruition and giving people hope. And you can find peers, basically, that are in the same spot you are, that have come out of a very difficult situation, and it just is encouragement. So it's hope. It's really, it's awesome. Anyway, it's a good company to buy a pillow from because it's the best pillow on the planet Earth. $34.99 a pillow. Right now, the lowest price ever offered in that two-pack special of MyPillow premiums for $69.98. MyPillow.com, promo code Scott, or call 800-506-9028. Okay, let's go next to Lauren in Mandan. You're up for Senator Kevin Cramer. Go ahead, Lauren.
Yeah, good morning, Senator Cramer.
Hey, Lauren.
I just had another little thought on the Social Security debacle that seems to be coming down the pike.
Yeah.
I've wondered why it is the baby boomer generation that seems to be getting blamed so much for what will happen when they all start drawing out. Don't the people realize they were the biggest generation? They sure paid their share in, too.
And there's no question about that.
What the hell happened to the $2 trillion that the government has stole from the trust fund? Why isn't that paid back? The government seems to be able to take when they want, and I'm just curious why that can't be somewhat adjusted and shored up for people down the road.
Right. Well, for certainly, Lawrence. So he's referencing this, and that $2 trillion basically is our debt. It's $2 trillion of the debt that is owed to the trust fund. The Social Security Trust Fund is the largest holder of federal debt. So they hold the debt. It definitely, and I'd have to look at the whole formula now, Lauren, to get it done, but it's a good reminder that I should do that. Maybe by next week I can have some more specifics. But even at that, part of why, you remember back in the 90s when Newt Gingrich and Dick Armey and Bill Clinton, quote, balanced the budget. The reason that the budget was balanced is you know, there was, first of all, a booming economy at the time, much like there is now, which is why you're seeing, but why we're able to raise, you know, the discretionary budget less than the actual revenue that's coming in for once. But
right.
The other reason it was balanced was because, of course, it was pre-baby boomer retirement. So it was a little bit of, a little bit tricky. But anyway, that said, I'll check into that so that maybe by next week I can know exactly where that $2 trillion, how that $2 trillion of debt that they hold fits into the trust fund's balance. But even at that, it's on a downward slide. And you're exactly right. I think blame is an inappropriate word. If that's how it comes off, it shouldn't be. It's just a matter of math. And, you know, any solution has to protect current seniors and seniors and probably people that would be eligible within 10 years, protect them from adverse impact whatsoever. And we still have the time to do that, Lauren. The problem is nobody wants to talk about what we do in the out years. And you know what's interesting about that? If people, you maybe have heard me say this before, but if we were to have a discussion today, let's say all the, you know, the right members of Congress sat down at the table today and said, by the end of this year, we want to have a solution for Social Security 20 years from now. The fix that we could instill today would be minuscule compared to the benefit 20 years from now. It's like I always say, if you look at the tail of a dog, you know, the end of the tail wags a lot further than at the beginning of the tail, and that's what this would be like. But politically, even our favorite president won't deal with it. He promised he wouldn't, and we need to have that discussion.
Appreciate the call. Yeah, go ahead, Lauren.
One other quick question on all the bailout money, the federal money thrown at the ag world.
Yeah,
I'm wondering why beef hasn't been, and why did the beef industry seem to be not included in any of that? Because the price of cattle has plummeted quite a bit from where it came out a few years back, too.
It has. And I think the reason for that, Lauren, is because it's the program crops. The whole program, what he's talking about, I think you're talking about the trade aid or the MFP, is built on the existing safety net. And so you're dealing with data and whatnot that already exists with the crop insurance program and whatnot. And I think it was more as a matter of ease. The good news on cattle, by the way, is just today, this very day, there's going to be the signing over at the United States Trade Representative headquarters here, the signing of a cattle deal with the European Union that increases the amount of U.S. cattle that will be able to be purchased by the European Union, or beef that will be purchased by the European Union. I was at the embassy last night, as I mentioned earlier, the Japanese embassy. Chris and I were there last night and visiting with the Japanese ambassador who had just come from negotiations with Bob Lighthizer and USTR on a Japanese-U.S. bilateral agreement. And, of course, beef is a big component of that discussion. We used to sell a lot of beef to Japan, but Japan went into a bilateral deal with Australia that has been, I think there's like a 34% tariff on U.S. cattle to Japan, and there's a zero tariff on Australian cattle. That's hard to compete with that. So there's some good news in that front, but I think the answer to your question specific to MFP was that they used existing program crops, and that did leave some out. There were some added this go around that weren't there last go around.
Appreciate the call, Lauren. Thank you very much. Others waiting here. I want to get in a, kind of a consolidated question from a conversation that happened last hour related to the new pick for the BLM post. And somebody called and said, hey, do you know anything about this Penley guy? He is actually a guy that wants to sell all federal lands. And I did do a little digging, and I guess in a National Review magazine article back in 2016, he said, quote, the founding fathers intended all lands owned by the federal government to be sold. Westerners know that only getting title to much of the land in the West will bring real change. And so that obviously a little bit different than Ryan Zinke thought, but because he didn't want to sell it at all. But my question was, can we have a conversation about how much is enough and how much is the right amount? And, you know, was some of it acquired to, you know, help folks? And then we just lease it back anywhere where we could sell it back to them and gain some revenue, buy down some debt. You know, you praised this appointment by the president. What do you think about selling some public lands? Good idea, bad idea?
Yeah, I think we should have a conversation about it, Scott. And, and the guy's name, by the way, is William Perry Bentley, and Bill Bentley is from Wyoming, and that tells you somewhat of where he's come from. So Wyoming, about 48-50% of Wyoming's land is owned by the federal government. And just to put that in perspective, North Dakota is just under 4%, 3.9% of North Dakota is federal land. That's, we're talking ownership now. There's another whole wave of a whole bunch of land that is what I call a regulatory taking, and we could have a very long discussion about that. But Utah is like 65%, Nevada's 85%, Idaho's, you know, in the 60s somewhere, in terms of percentage of land owned by the federal government. In fact, the federal government owns about 27% of the land in the United States, 27.5% roughly. So it's not like the federal government is short on owning land, and to me that's a frightening amount of land ownership. One of the bigger problems with land ownership, federal land ownership, besides Bill's, I think, point in that article, and I didn't read it, but this isn't what the founding fathers had in mind, is that it's not very productive. It could be productive, but it's not because the federal government runs it so poorly. No big surprise there, right? And you know, many of the forest fires we have are because of our federal forests aren't managed properly. And if you want to talk about managing the forest properly, then the environmentalists get all mad and say, no, you know, trees that fall down are part of nature or habitat for somebody or something. And then they blame global warming when a forest fire gets started by a camper because there's a bunch of kindling in the bottom of the forest. The federal government just is not very good at managing things. So I think it is reasonable to have a discussion. I certainly don't advocate selling all federal land. I love our national parks. I love some of our, you know, recreational areas.
And let's start with reviewing what the founding fathers did, you know, give us in the way of a roadmap on this. And if he's right that they intended all lands owned by the federal government to be sold, I'd like to say, okay, well, where did we say that's now not a good idea? I don't know. I'm with you. I just think it's worthy of a conversation. Another question that came up from a listener, and I forwarded this to you, so I'm not going to play it, take up the time, but essentially it was a concerned resident about her cable TV rate. She was on Social Security, fixed income, and she's saying, you know, Medco goes up, you know, $7 2 years ago, $5 this year, goes up. And what's the deal? Can you ask Senator Cramer to do something about it? Is what she said. Well, actually, she wanted you to ask President Trump to do something. That's what she said. So what do you think?
Well, I mean, that's the opposite of federal land ownership. That's federal that's personal investment in cable. Cable's not mandatory. I'll tell you what I do. What I am a strong advocate for, Scott, and you know this better than anybody, and certainly your colleagues in broadcast media know this. This is why it's really important for the federal government to make sure that broadcast television and broadcast radio, you know, and I'm a big, you know, I've been a sponsor every year I've been in Congress of the AM Radio Act to make sure that there's always free television and radio broadcast for people who don't want to have cable or can't afford cable. There's also streaming. There's so many different versions now, so many different ways to get that product. It seems to me, you know, government intervention into that free market, you know, wouldn't be necessarily a great idea.
Let's get one more quick call in here from Nathan in Fargo. Go ahead, Nathan, for Senator Cramer.
Thank you, Scott, and good morning. Good morning, Senator Cramer.
Good morning.
My question for you is that the Obama administration always threatened that the Trump DOJ would go after prosecuting their opponents. And now that William Barr has declined to prosecute Comey, is this a good sign for President Trump, seeing how the House Democrats want to come up and try to impeach the president? And the Inspector General, Michael Horowitz, had a referral to charge Comey in potential prosecution. Is this a good sign then for President Trump for what's to come?
About 15 seconds for your answer there.
Yeah, I don't know that the two are necessarily related. I mean, William Barr doesn't take his orders from the House, nor does he respond to how they do it. He simply looks at the facts and will apply the law properly. I'm confident of it. I hadn't heard about the decision not to prosecute. But
more after this. Don't go away, folks.
Need an escape? No, not a vacation. An escape from your basement. Here at Precision Concrete Cutters, we specialize in egress window installation and replacement. So not only do we provide you an escape from your basement, we provide you with sunlight into that dark, dreary space to make you feel like you're on vacation. Okay, maybe not. But you will relax knowing you have a safe way out. For more information on egress windows, go to pccnd.com. That's pccnd.com.
Hello, I'm Jim at ndflagpoleguy.com. I encourage you to demonstrate your allegiance to America by displaying the American colors. Enemies, foreign and domestic, do not rest, and neither will Old Glory, as it flies freely at your home and business. Freedom, as displayed in our Constitution and sacrificed by our fallen, continually are under assault. Fight back. Install a flagpole. Call Jim at 701-571-FLAG or email Jim at ndflagpoleguy.com. And thank you.
As a working adult, you know the value of a dollar, and you expect quality for your money. Now is a great time for you to further your education, and the University of Mary offers education for the working adult with flexible learning options that are competitively priced. You'll be supported throughout your program by a world-class faculty committed to your success. A world-class education at an affordable price. Discover the University of Mary difference at umary.edu/online.
Mineral owners, do you know if you're being paid correctly? With Mineral Tracker, you can be sure. Mineral Tracker is an online app that gives North Dakota mineral owners a simple way to make sure their monthly checks are correct. When you activate your free account, that's right, I said free, you get access to the Mineral Tracker map. This shows you your wells, all other wells and their laterals in North Dakota, plus all permitted wells and rigs. Head to MineralTracker.com today to get your free account.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at gcnlife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at gcnlife.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Voices, you know, you just, you know who it is, kind of like Trace Adkins, just know who it is. Tonight's WeFest, Jake Owen and Brooks and Dunn, the big acts tonight. That's Jake Owen right there, 10 before the top of the hour on What's On Your Mind. Todd's going to tell us how he got to work today, and then we're going to...
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say my nice brand new Buick Regal Tourx all-wheel drive, 29 miles a gallon on the freeway. So as I zoom back and forth to the Twin Cities, not having my cell phone right in my hand, because you get the hands-free thing going on. But if you need something even bigger, plenty of the HD pickups are in. The 2020 GMC HD pickups are in. Check out yours, SchwanBuickGMC.com.
All right, Senator Kramer had to run to that meeting with General Todd Semenite of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. I'm wondering what that meeting's going to be like, given what you just heard.
Kumbaya being sung there?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think patience is wearing thin. I think niceties get tossed out the window. I interviewed him last night for television on POV. Chris Berg's on vacation, so I'm subbing for Chris again tonight. Kirsten Baszler going to join us tonight on the program, talk about the Education Innovation Summit that's coming up. But I've never really heard or seen Kevin that upset. And all of this was just transpiring yesterday amid all these votes, and he's getting these emails saying, yes, no, we'll get this information to you. No, we won't. We're not going to give it to you. Like, what? Are you kidding me? And they're just... Listen to him talk about the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, the folks using your taxpayer dollars to protect the United States border with Mexico, something we've talked and talked and talked and talked about, but never get done. President Trump asked Senator Kevin Kramer, do a deep dive on these guys for me. I hear they're great. I hear they're horrible. I want somebody, just give me the facts. Just give me the facts. So he starts requesting this information, and he can't get it. He's frustrated by it. So listen to this.
As I've learned many times, the Corps of Engineers is their own government. They're their own bureaucracy. They're arrogant. They're secretive. And I'm starting to wonder if they're not corrupt. I mean, when they hide behind words like proprietary and secret, but they can't provide me with the statute that says that they have that authority, I get very suspicious. I'm not sure they want to build the wall, Scott. Quite honestly, they're supposed to be building 400 new miles by the end of next year, and they've built 54 so far. And to your point, you're saying that they've built none that's brand new. Now, I will cut them some slack and say that if you replace a auto barrier with a 30-foot wall, you've built some new wall. You're keeping pedestrian traffic out that previously they walked right over. So I want to be fair to that. But
well, to be fair...
No, I'm very frustrated, as you can tell.
To be fair, yeah, give them credit for, even with that replacement of other barriers, and a wall is better than a vehicle barrier, but it's 50 miles. It's 50 miles. In the entire Trump administration, the only new wall protecting new turf was built by We Build the Wall. We paid for that. Not we as in taxpayers, we as people who above and beyond that shelled out money to donate an average of $60 donation that tallied up $24 million that allowed them to build the wall that I was at last week.
Didn't they do that in like a weekend, like 3 miles in a weekend or something?
Yeah, from the first time Tommy Fish was brought on the line to say, here's what we want to do, 5 weeks.
You know what I brought up earlier?
The actual construction of the wall? Was a week.
What gets me is that, and the wall that they are building or replacing is nowhere near the quality of materials that Tommy's putting in, nowhere near the infrastructure with the technology and the sonar and all of it. Doesn't include a road, doesn't include lights.
Well, get a load of this.
Substandard steel.
The Corps said they don't want road. Quit putting roads in your bid. Meanwhile, I had the head of the U.S. Border Patrol Union and his deputy practically in tears over the road, saying it's fantastic. It's fantastic. I keep hearing from Senator Kramer that they say they don't want to road the bids. Who said that?
Yeah.
Who would say that?
Wow.
It's ridiculous. I'm not going to stop on this. I just think it's too fundamental to everything about presidential campaigns, period. You promise something, you do it. And besides, it's necessary. And by the way, it's not racist. It's not racist. Do you know what that wall will do? It protects the majority-minority population of Sullen Park, New Mexico, and El Paso from being invaded by cartels and human trafficking. How's that racist? Jeff in Minot wanted to get in here, too, for Senator Kramer. I'm sorry he's gone, but I can give you a couple of seconds to give me your comment. Jeff, go ahead.
Good morning. Good to talk. It's good to talk with you. Good morning. I had a comment about the baby boom bubble that was raised a couple of times this morning. We've been tracking the baby boom bubble for over 50 years. When I first was asked a question about that, I was a freshman at BJC taking a course in econ, and the instructor said, you guys are going to turn 65 roughly in 2015. How many of you think that the Social Security benefits will be available? That question has been asked over and over and over and over again for 50 years. I just wanted to ask Congressman Kramer, or Senator Kramer, which Democrat president or
This is Carol Juven at Juven Tours, inviting you to join us on South Pacific Wonders Tour in Australia and New Zealand, February 11 through 25. 14 days to explore some of the most exciting sights in Australia and New Zealand. Yes, they do speak English. This is an all-inclusive tour from Fargo or your home city airport. Call me at 800-343-0093, toll-free.
And Carol, let's welcome everyone along to Branson for six big Christmas shows, October 31st through November 5th. $989 per person based on double occupancy. Call Juven Tours and Travel. Let's make some memories.
For information on these tours and others, call me at 1-800-343-0093 and I will send you out brochures immediately. Juven Tours, welcome along.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure powdery Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure powdery Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.